Amen, amen, amen. Who is that gentleman who was singing up here? Anthony. What a great voice, brother. You know, that was a beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, give him a hand, Anthony. I'm going to take this off. I don't think this is illegal up here. That's what Pastor Joseph said. Anyways, Anthony, they asked me to sing in front of my church at the choir. And so I said, okay. And it was the first Sunday and I was singing. And the next day, it was really weird. They came up to me and said, John, we still want you on the choir, but can you do us a favor? And I said, what's that? I said, could you just move your lips? Don't let any breath come out. So I don't know what that means, but I think it's a compliment. What do you think? So thank you. Thank you, Pastor Joseph. Grace and peace to you all, Olney Baptist Church, in the name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. Thank you so much for welcoming me back again. I am so excited to be here. Last time we had a great time bringing the Word of God through my testimony. And thank you, Pastor Joseph. Awesome trip. And he comes back and he's still, you're speaking well. Yeah, I didn't hear any crackling of the voice. You're doing great. He just came from Africa. That's awesome. But I am so honored to be here and privileged. And as Pastor Joseph mentioned, my name is John Carlson, and honored and blessed to be the deacon of Christ Church South Philly. I have to say, South Philly, yo, land of the cheesesteaks. Well, I guess all Philly is land. I don't know. But that's that way somewhere. And originally from Minnesota, you betcha. I got to remind you on that one. And also honored from my calling of God. I am the executive director and founder of Transformation to Recovery, which is a faith-based recovery community center out of the church. It's a ministry of Christ Church. It is served out of the Church of Christ Church. And we also have what they call a transitional housing or a recovery house. You might know in that term, called Hope House, under the umbrella of Transformation to Recovery. So we do recovery supports, addiction counseling. We just help people. And by the way, everybody's in addiction from something. By the end of this sermon, you might be able to define what your addiction is that needs to go to God. But we mostly serve folks who are challenged with drugs and alcohol, some mental health issues and things like that. But it's all under the umbrella of struggling in sin. Amen? And we got, I'm privileged to bring two of my leaders from the house. Why don't you guys stand up real quick? We got Jimmy and we got Scott. Give them a hand for being here. They're helping me out. And we have literature here. If anybody has a family member or yourself or everything's confidential, just please come up and ask me questions. Take some literature, and we want to just serve you. That's our calling. It's not the worldly calling. It's God's calling. So I want to start by a funny thing just happened to me this morning. Last night yesterday went over my father-in-law who's a retired attorney in Ocean City, and unfortunately, but in Christ, he has dementia, and so he has an office that's packed with books, huge amount of books. He was my, and still is, my spiritual mentor. And we used to have Bible studies together and get together one-on-one. So he's got a rich source of theological literature and books and Bibles and you name it, Spurgeon books from back when he was alive, I think, or sold. But he called me up and he said, please, we have to get these books out of your office. I can't read them anymore, and they're all yours. And I was like, amen. And plus, they're making that room into a bedroom. So my wife and I went down there yesterday and cleaned out that office. I saw so many. One of my needs now is to have another journal, you know, to write. I'm still an old-timer. I write in a journal, especially take notes at church. And so, Jimmy, can you hold up that journal? This is my new journal. Everybody give a hand to that. Isn't that beautiful? That's gorgeous, right? So I brought my new journal home free of charge. And this morning I looked at the journal and I said, amen, I got my new journal. I'm going to bring it to Albany Baptist Church. And when Pastor Joseph preaches today, I could do my first notes. And I said, oh, wait, I'm bringing a message. But I thought I got a kick out of that. But no, my father-in-law is doing well. And so we brought those books home with us. So let's do this. Let me go into prayer, and then we will get into the Word of God. Father, thank you so much for your grace, your mercy, your love, your kindness, your blessing. Father, I don't feel worthy bringing your Word, but I'm here. I'm your vessel. Just fill me with the Word to speak. Fill me with the better message than I prepared, and I will bring it, Father. It's all you, Father. I just lift up this Baptist church, Albany Baptist Church, and everyone in here. Please prepare their minds, their hearts, their souls, their spirits, their bodies to receive the message today. Receive your Word. Receive the truth. Allow all of us to leave here with more wisdom than we came in by growing in your Word. We need your help in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're coming out of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3-14. You know, Paul, that's his long-winded run-on sentence, and I call it his theological prayer, and there's so much richness in there. We're gonna read 3-14, but I'm going to focus on 11 to 14 on the meat on that. And I'm coming at you with the New King James, if that's okay. So I'll read that word, and then we'll get into it. So Ephesians 1, verses 3-14. And the word says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Amen. And so we are going to focus on 11 and 14, but I have a beginning story that kind of describes some things in my life from early on. I call it the Sunday breakfast. I remember when I was in high school, I was barely going to graduate. I was 18, I guess, senior, and I think it was probably somewhere near graduation, maybe. I don't know where that is, May or something like that. And I remember it was a Sunday morning, and my father, who was a good man, But him and I were not too close, like one-on-one close, I would say. You know, he'd take me to places. He was a pilot. I'm a pilot. We flew together, all this kind of stuff. We had a great time together, but we weren't really too close. I remember it was kind of a weird thing when we got together alone. Maybe it was a man thing. I don't know. But this Sunday morning, he came to me. Yeah, we weren't going to church. He came to me and said, son, or no, he didn't. He said, John, I want to take you to breakfast. And I said, well, that's weird in my heart. That's strange. He never asked that before. I said, okay. And I'm thinking, this is strange. I never went to breakfast with my dad. What am I going to say to him? You know, what are we going to do? And what is his motivation? And so I went, and we went to breakfast in a small little diner in Buna, New Jersey. Anybody know where that's at? Next to Vineland, where I grew up. And we sat there and breakfast, and then soon I knew what his motivation was. He asked me a question. He says, John, what do you want to do with your life? See, I'm about ready to graduate high school. All my friends, they're already in Penn State and Drexel, and they know where they're going. They're going to be doctors, lawyers. I didn't know anything. I didn't care. All I wanted to do was party, have fun, you know, and do that thing, right? And so I really didn't know what to do, but I had three things. I had three things in my heart. And so I said, Dad, I want to be either an architect, an airline pilot, or a physical therapist. And he said, great, let's help you with one of those things. So I honed down on physical therapy. I started going to school for that, which turned into a business degree later on. Anyways, I didn't know what to do, but as I went to college, I graduated with an MBA, started working with the corporate field. I thought I was where I was at. That was my purpose in life. And then here comes addiction. And that threw me for a loop. It was first alcohol, and then you name it, everything else came like a shower. And then I found myself in a hotel room for 2 weeks, and that's where I met Jesus Christ. You know, 20, 30 years before that, I always believed in God, but I never knew Christ, and I wasn't saved until the affliction, my addiction. And that's where I was turned over to Christ in that hotel room at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And the message of my story is I learned we do not have a guarantee through our self-will. We could choose whatever we want to do, but if it's not in Christ, it's not going to be our path. It's not going to be a guarantee. Right. I also learned God's will and calling and my purpose. I learned my purpose through the affliction of addiction. The world doesn't see that. I learned my purpose through the affliction of addiction, which is his guarantee for my life. Right. To bring me to the light of the gospel, to the darkness of addiction. My point is, I thought I wanted to be a physical therapist, but I turned out to be an addiction counselor. With an organization, and this is my calling, and this is my guarantee. Think about your purpose while we go through this word and in Christ. And I have one point today, this morning, the guarantee. My one point is the guarantee. And the guarantee is the Holy Spirit of God. So in Ephesians, we hear the theme that is prominent in Paul's writing. It's in him. In him. This small text here that we just read has reference to him 21 times, either in him or himself, reference to Jesus 21 times in this text we just read. That statement is the whole sermon, the whole message, and the whole of eternity, because in him is Christ who is all in all. So we ask, we always ask, how does one receive redemption? How does one receive forgiveness of sins, therefore eternal life? The answer is in him, in Jesus Christ. If you heard my testimony last time, you know that I suffered an addiction for 17 years. And if you don't mind, I'm going to reference that through this message because it's going to give it some meat to think about. The affliction of my addiction, but God. This was the worst thing. And yet, it was the best thing in my life, my addiction, because I entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ through that. That's the tool he'd lead me to him. in him to be born again, the guarantee. Some of you all moviegoers here, right? And moviegoers are very a good breed. They don't want to hear from someone the end of the story or the movie before they go see it, because it's going to ruin it. But I'm going to ruin this movie for you. But if you haven't caught it yet, in him is the guarantee. And the guarantee is the Holy Spirit in Christ. So verse 11 says, in him also we have attained an inheritance, being predestined. I heard that word a lot today already. According to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Right? In him, again, is Jesus Christ. In him, we have obtained an inheritance. Friends, we are children of God. Think about that. We could turn to Romans 8:17. It says, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffered with him, that we may also be glorified together. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Let that sink in. So we are sons of the King. We have inherited the kingdom. The inheritance, that's us, church. Amen. Looks forward to the time when we and all true believers will be manifested to amaze world as the body of Christ, the bride of the Lamb. Believers are predestined. You, church, are predestined. We are determined in advance according to the counsel of his will. Predetermined. We shouldn't worry, right? If he's in charge, why do we worry? That begs a question, as I began. That begs a question. What is my purpose, you might be thinking? I'll be honest with you, I revisit that all the time, even though I know what my purpose is. But my flesh starts to keep fighting, and it sees something else. I want to finish physical therapy. That came up. I want to go back to medical school. Or I wasn't in medical school. I want to go to medical school. Kind of crazy stuff gets in our minds, and then we start exploring what is our purpose again. Well, let's turn to Romans 8:29. That'll kind of solve that. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Friends, our purpose is in him. In Christ, to be conformed to the image of Christ. I can't even wrap my mind around that. So it says in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, Jesus says, follow me. So he said, I got hung up on that for hours. Follow me. We are to follow him, church. Can I get an amen on that? We are to follow him. Wow. Let's take a note here. The reason for his choosing reside in him. I heard Pastor Joseph just say that. Not in us. I am so grateful for this, tell you the truth, because I messed up. Because I have messed up. See, my life was, here's a good word for you. This is what came to my heart. Messness. Is that a word? I just made it up. My life was messness, filled with pride, therefore addiction, therefore destruction. In the eyes of the world, I'm a bad guy. Still to this day, family members look at me and say, what a loser John Carlson is. I am serious. And that's the very thing that brought me to Christ to be born again. Think about that. Have hope in that. So I was filled with pride, addiction, destruction. Don't answer this, but how about you? How about you? Though my messness, I have identified an important word in the Bible, and it's not anything you're going to guess right now. That important word is spelled B-U-T. And it's not that thing behind you. See, my life was a mess, but God. Anybody relate here? My life was a mess, but God. Can anyone relate to that? Let me just give you some things. Crashing 3 company cars in the corporate field. One of them hit my wife's car. and I ran away. I didn't want her to know I hit her car. Crazy stuff. Cop pulled me over after I hit a pole high on something, maybe opioids. I don't even remember anymore. He came right up to me, looked me in the eyes, and smiled. He said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Get in that ambulance." No ticket, nothing. I was DUI, guys. Grace of God. I would have been done right there in jail. And, of course, I didn't have any jail time through my whole addiction. Do you remember being lost without hope before that butt, church? Do you remember being lost before that, in that destruction, before that butt? Friends, addiction was my sin, my darkness. I was broken and lost, but God has a plan for all of us. Thank God it wasn't relying on my doing or my merits. I'd be dead in jail or in hell. But God, yes, I would be in hell if it wasn't for Christ to wake me up through my addiction. I would be in hell. Think about that. God created his plan carefully according to an eternal purpose. God has a purpose. He has an eternal plan. Have hope in that. Why should we lack faith? And I know I do. I heard evangelist John Piper confess that every morning when he gets up, he's got to get to his knees right away because he has such anxiety for the day. And that's lack of faith. But guess what? Jesus gives us that faith. We ask for it. And he will give it to us. Friends, it's in him. God has a plan and purpose for all of you. It's not polite to point, but I will. He has a plan for all of you. And South Jersey would say, all y'alls. All y'alls. Pretty funny. Anyways, verse 12, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Praise to his glory. What beautiful words. We are his trophies of the grace of God. Didn't feel like it while I was out there running. Or are y'all running from something? When you're running, does it feel like you're his trophies? Guess what? Trying to please someone. Are you trying to please someone? I was. Guess who I was trying to please most of all? Self. I was trying to please self. So, listen here, church. We are unlikely, faulty, wicked, raw material that God turns into perfection. You are perfection, church, in God's eyes. So stop your running. Do you trust in him? Christ announced, it is finished. So let's follow him. We are part of the remnant that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's my question. Again, do you trust in Christ? Do you trust in Christ? Are you part of his team? It's football season now, so I'll use the word team. Are you on his team? Let's turn to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 to help us with this. What it says in there, it says, it's a command. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. I have to read that every single day because of the flesh that wars against my spirit. Church, do you believe God's word? You know, I tell you, the second half of that verse, it haunts me because it says, lean not on yourself. If we sit here and proclaim to be Christians and say, I trust in God and turn around and do our back to him like Jonas and do what our self wants to do, that trust in God is deleted. That's a hypocrite. And guess what? Self is going to lead to destruction. I'll tell you that. I know. I have lived experience. You ain't got nothing over me. I know self leads to destruction. But we can trust in the Lord with all our heart and not lean on our own understanding. You know, addiction, I was thinking about it. I think most importantly, especially addiction is our idols. What's your idol? Think about that. Think about this. Now, guess what? An idol doesn't have to be drugs and alcohol. I've seen many idols on myself as well, besides a substance abuse, as they say it. You know, doesn't have to be drugs and alcohol. Something that you hold dear before God. Something that you pleases you before God, or something that you trust in before God. Amen? Trusting in self always leads to destruction. An example, I was listening to Paul Washer. Some of you know Paul Washer's a monster out there in evangelism. And he's a big evangelist, not a monster. But he was telling a story the other day at my earbuds while I was running in Penn's Landing, and it caught my attention. He was noticing two fathers, and one of the fathers had a son. And the one father was eavesdropping on the other father's conversation with the son. His son asked his father, "May I go to my girlfriend's house for the weekend?" And the other father's hearing this, and the father of the son said, "No, you may not go to your girlfriend's house for the weekend." And it says, why, kick his head. "No, you're not going." The other father went to him and said, "Why won't you allow him to do that? Don't you trust your son?" He said, "No, I don't trust my son. And by the way, I don't trust myself out of Christ." Think about that. Think about that. Do you believe God's word? This is a commandment, trusting God. So just a note in the scripture, we who first trusted in Christ speaks of the Jewish believers, and the words "you also" in the next verse, 13, speak of Gentile believers. That's us. So God's great plan has a place for both Jew and Gentile. It brings them together, both together in Jesus. And that's everybody. That's all diversity. Jew, Greek, white, black, Spanish, whatever the nationality, ethnicity, whatever the case may be, we are all together in Christ. So God's great plan is it has a place for both of us. In Christ, we are united, church. Can I get an amen on that? I think of the Alney Baptist Church all the time. This is my image of a church. I love this church. I love the look of it. I love the feel of it. Your fellowship is so welcoming. Pastor Joseph, my brother, my friend, thank you. And staff, you are so warm, welcoming, and loving. And I thank you all. I hope that you feel the same way. We are united together in Christ. Please look at your neighbor right now and give you a little exercise. Look at your neighbor, let's say to the right and to the left, and say to them, "I love you. We are united in Christ." Amen, amen. That's a church, Pastor Joseph. We got us ourselves a church. The fellowship, amen. Verse 13, "In him," I love when it starts out like that, "you also trusted after you heard," what? "The word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." So again, in him, Jesus Christ, you have trusted. From what? From hearing the word of truth. What's the word of truth? Yes. It is Jesus Christ. He is the Word. He is the wisdom. Let's visit Romans chapter 10, verse 11 through 13. And in that scripture it says, "Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is over all. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whoever.
And I like to go to Romans 10:15 to complete this picture. It says, "And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace." And church, we heard the gospel, didn't we? We heard the gospel in persecutions and tribulations. And you know what? Everybody is in tribulation from something. Thank God. That's the university of Christ. We wouldn't grow. Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 4, where did he go? The Holy Spirit brought him into the wilderness to have tribulation, trials, testing. Christ went. We heard the gospel and responded, and now we follow Christ. We follow Christ. Don't worry about your weakness. It's easy for me to say, right? But don't worry about your weakness, because weakness is your stepping stool to strength in Christ. That's what's needed. He is our strength. Scripture on that, 2 Corinthians 12:9. "And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." No worries, church. Your weakness is the magnet for his strength to work in you. Your weakness is the magnet for his strength to work in you. We become disciples with lived experience. If you don't have lived experience in drugs and alcohol, your lived experience is your trials and tribulations and your weakness. You know suffering. You get a PhD in suffering, and you can counsel someone who's going through the same thing. Amen? Don't waste your sufferings. Don't waste your weakness. Don't waste your tribulations. Bring that in counsel to your brother and sister in Christ. They need to hear from you. And we become those feet after that. Y'all become those feet because we heard the truth. Now we bring the light of the gospel to the darkness of the world. Can I get an amen? Amen. We bring the light of the gospel to the darkness of the world. You are all ministers here. Story. When I was young, I came to a church. I don't know who took me, probably my mom. As you notice, I didn't grow up in church. After I got married, I started going to church. I come from Roman Catholicism, whatever. And then I got saved, and Jesus Christ brought me to the Bible, the Word of God. But I remember walking in this church, young, and it looked like this church, and I was in the back pew, and all the pews were black. The church was kind of white and black, and it kind of looked like textbooky in there. It kind of looked intellectual, and the pastor was speaking, and he was intellectualizing this. And it was almost like, I guess maybe it could have been like a Presbyterian church or something. Amen, but they were still preaching the Word of God. But it felt really smarty in there, for lack of a better term. And I remember sitting in that pew in front of me, the backrest in front of me, of course, had the Bible, the Holy Bible in front. And I looked at that. That was black too. And so I looked at that, and I look at the pew, and I look at the speaker, and I said, I'm not qualified for this. I could be in a church, I can listen, I can kneel, and I can stand, and I can do that, but I'm not qualified to preach the word. I'm not qualified to bring the gospel. I'm not qualified to talk about Jesus. I'm not even qualified to open up that text that's called the Bible. That's not me. That's him. That's Pastor Joseph. That's not me. I'm not qualified for that. I'm not called for that. I'm not built for that. I don't have the education for that. That's my mind thought. I grew up thinking that was someone else's job. Think about that. No, folks. Well, guess where I'm at right now? Preaching the word. And it came out of addiction. But here's the thing. We are all called to be ministers. We are meant. It might not be a calling up here preaching the word. Don't worry about that. But it is to share the gospel and the message in the Bible to someone at your job, someone in your neighborhood, your wife, your daughters, your sons, your husband, your neighborhood, in the grocery store. We minister. You all are anointed as ministers of Jesus Christ. You hear that? And you are to bring the message. It's not an education thing. It's not a laying on hands thing. It might be, but it is. You are called to be disciples and ministers. So we're here. Let's celebrate. Let's worship. Who brings glad tidings of good things? Jesus. Let's hear that. Jesus. That's beautiful. Everyone shout out one more time. Jesus. Amen. Let me hear you say amen. Amen. All right. Let's go back a little bit to Jesus as the Word. Let's read John chapter 1. Yeah, I'm going there. Verses 1 through 4. Every time I preach or bring the message, I go here. And it says in that passage, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Church, Jesus is the Word. In the book of Revelation, they call him the Word of God. You know, I think, what is the Word of God? It is God's wisdom. The worlds, in the beginning is also in Genesis 1, the worlds were made from the Word of God. It's God's wisdom, and Jesus is God's wisdom. And he is the wisdom of God. So Jesus is the Word of God, excuse me, and Jesus is God. He is the wisdom that saves. Church, do you know that you need a Savior? Do you know that you need a Savior? Let me just say something personally to you. If you don't know you need a Savior, you're in trouble. If you don't know you need a Savior, you're in trouble. But fear not, folks. We are sent a Savior, the Messiah who takes away the sins of the world. His name is Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ. Is there anyone in here struggling with this in your heart? Please, if you are, come pray with us. Please come see Pastor Joseph. Pray with someone if you're struggling with this in your heart. And I'm going to tell you one thing about that. It's urgent. You might not have another minute left. Or five. Same here. You might not have tomorrow. Where do you want to go? Who do you want to spend eternity with? Heaven in Christ or the devil in hell? Where do you want to go? It is urgent. It is real. Jesus suffered and died on a cross, then rose again for our salvation, for your salvation. You know, notice St. John in that passage also says in him. I love that. So he is the Word of truth. Again, I want to shout and sing, Jesus is the truth. I want to hear you say, Jesus is the truth. John 14, 16 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me, right? That's Jesus Christ. Do you believe God's word? That's what it comes down to. Believe in his word. I know I was at a Bible study one time and someone says, well, I believe half the Bible, the other Bible, I don't know, the Genesis thing, I don't really partake to. If you don't believe the whole Bible, a whole 66 books in there, every word that's in there, then you don't believe the word of God. The word of God is true. You need to believe the whole thing. And know that that is His doctrine. That is His scripture. That is His word. That's the truth. So here's the path that Paul is using in this. So Paul is talking to the Gentiles by the indication of you. So the sequence here is that Gentiles, us, we first heard the gospel, then believed in Christ, and then we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Simple formula, ain't it? Not with the flesh. The flesh is complex and rejects the Spirit. But note again, salvation is found in Jesus Christ alone. And let's look at Scripture on that so we understand. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Ephesians 2:8. The next chapter over. So the end of chapter 13 states, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise means everyone born again receives the Holy Spirit of God. And through that, you receive Jesus Christ. You receive the promise of eternal life. Think about that, church. Eternal life. You are born again. Eternal life starts now. This is your pioneer time, your pilgrim time. This is the suffering and the church time. But you're going to go and be one-on-one with Christ when your bodies, your mortal bodies pass away and you get your new body in heaven. Amen? So, Joel, let me go to the Old Testament. Joel chapter 2, verse 28, another favorite of mine. Oh, wait a second. The whole Bible is my favorite. It says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old man shall dream dreams. Your young man shall see vision. God pours out His Spirit on you. And what is that, church? That, my friends, is the guarantee. If I may, I want to talk about the world, the unsaved system. The world and its deception. If you ever been to a store or buy a product or bring home a refrigerator or an airplane, why did I go there? Or anything, purchase something or get service on something, they give a warranty, don't they? I really don't like those warranty. Because there's a word that comes before warranty, it's limited. And I really hate when it comes down to the fact that I have to use the warranty because I know chances are it ain't going to work the way it's supposed to work, and I can't find a person to redeem it. I'm on hold. Anybody can relate there? That warranty stuff really gets me. It's limited. It's found on expense principles, and it expires. But God gives a guarantee. Eternal guarantee. There are no limitations. There are no merits from our part. There are no expiration date. It's eternal. Amen? That's God's guarantee. So we are at the conclusion of my message, the guarantee. And so we're coming to verse 14. But we need to back up a little bit in verse 13 to make it work. So I'm going to start in verse 13 down below where it says, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. So the guarantee is the Holy Spirit of promise. I took the liberty to look up guarantee in Webster's dictionary. Why do I say Webster's? I don't know. It might have been there. I don't know. Maybe it's some other dictionary. But it says, a formal promise or assurance that certain conditions will be fulfilled, or a formal pledge to pay another person's debt or to perform another person's obligation in the case of default. Sound familiar? That's what Christ did for us. Yes, that is what Christ did for us. In Him, who is this? Who is the guarantee? Well, it's the Holy Spirit in Christ. That's Jesus. The Holy Spirit is our down payment, pledging that the full payment will be paid. Guess what? It is paid. And again, we are inheritance. We are heirs of our Father God. And we are redeemed, which is the action of being saved or saved from sin. You know, we're saved from God, from God's wrath through Jesus Christ. Think about that. We are redeemed by the grace of God because we are the purchased possession by the blood of Jesus Christ, the exchange life in Christ. I love that term, the exchange life in Christ. I remember being in America Keswick, the Christian rehab I was in. America Keswick in Whiting, New Jersey, four-month program. What a blessing. God walks in there. And I was in the Colony of Mercy all-purpose room walking around, and my chaplain was Chaplain Jim Frieda. I think it was your chaplain as well, or he was the leader chaplain. And he was walking around. This guy is the pastor of Red Lion. We spoke there, Red Lion Bible Church in New Jersey. He came up to me. I probably was 60 days old in the program. And he came up to me and says, John, I see that you're walking in the exchange life. I've never been so encouraged in my life. I just came off of 17 years of addiction, and Christ took my heart, and Chaplain Jim Fried at the time came to me, handed me a book about the exchange life in Christ, and said that to me. And that's why we need our stories and need our fellowship, and we need to be here encouraging each other in Christ. So again, this is through the praise of His glory. We had nothing to do with it. The ultimate goal is that He should be magnified and glorified. So in conclusion, I love God's word. I don't like the word "in conclusion," but it keeps on going, eternal life. Friends, Jesus of Nazareth came to the earth incarnate. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross. He was buried and rose on the third day. In our repentance and belief, friends, we died with Christ in Christ. And rose again with Christ in Christ. Friends, beloved brothers and sisters, that is our guarantee. That is our guarantee. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your grace and mercy. You are so beautiful. We need you. We love you. Your grace and mercy continues to abound more and more. Please increase our wisdom in Christ. Please increase us to the mind of Christ. Fill this church with your presence. Let every one of us go home with you in Christ. Help us to keep walking in your spirit. Father, the world will throw us tribulations and negative and deceptions. Allow us to know and see it coming because we have you in us and leading us. Jesus, we need you. I lift up everybody here in this fellowship. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.